any WCB lane.
YNU, good morning to you. This is NAWCB. Well, your marathon shift is over. At least you got a break tomorrow. How's it been going today? How was your day?
Yeah, thankfully. You know, it wasn't too bad. It was busy today, but I sat back up, and it was a good thing.
Wow, you got away with doing backup all shift. Hey, you can't beat that for 16. Yeah, it's a long day to sit there, but it sounds like it was a busy one.
Oh yeah, it was bad today, but that's okay. It wasn't on me today.
That's right, and at least you get overtime, or you know, at least you're compensated. You know, your hours balanced out there. So I guess that's the end result of it.
Yes, indeed. How was your guys' day?
We are doing pretty good. Had a pretty good day. Mom went and got her hair cut. She looks good. Looks good on her. And also, then she was able to get some medicine at Kroger, and we picked up a couple of things there. But tried the radio a couple times. In fact, tried yesterday. No contact, but did hear a lot of good QSOs. Good to hear the radio, the repeaters in use.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome, yeah. Yeah, good. That'd be good. You got you're taking your DMR radio with you on the trip, or?
Penetrating the base.
Yes, I am. Probably going to take a couple of them along there, but definitely the DMR. I like the fact that, you know, if I need to charge it, I can use USB. But you know, I like the fact of you know, the kind of seeing. I think the nearest repeater down there is Morley from Big Rapids. I'm going to try and see if I can get into it. I doubt if I can get it from Lee City, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's right. KYNU. Yeah. I know Tom KGO does pretty well on repeaters out that way. So they work. So you should be able to hit them.
Yeah, definitely going to try it out, and specifically, too, with them being, especially with leave the list of the church being, you know, up on a kind of a hilly area, I'd be interested to see, you know, what kind of rain. So it could be a good test.
Penetrating.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I've been listening to the statewide system now, because I carry the DMR radio around a lot, so I'll be listening, and hopefully it works out pretty well, and be able to get those repeaters.
NAWCB. Yeah, definitely. I know there's one in Big Rapids. I tried to make a couple of contacts when we were down there the last time, and I think there's one in Lake City, which is on the eastern part of Osceola County. And of course, there's, you know, Mount Pleasant, so in Cadillac as well. So we're definitely gonna be trying to see if we can hit the repeaters, see what kind of tests we can do up there.
Penetrating the.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great. Hopefully it works out for you.
Well, like I say, it'll be a good test, and you know, it will be hey, this works, no, this doesn't, and you know, what can we what can we adjust? Do I need to bring along a mag mount, or you know, can I get it from this radio or the other radios? A little bit of ham radio usage. Maybe the other grandkids, your nephews up there might be interested. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, hopefully. I don't see why you should have an issue. I think you should be able to reach out there pretty well. So.
Penetrating the bay like no one.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. And I sent that list over to you by email, but I forgot your computer crashed, so I don't know if you have any access to it. But you know, if it's just the Cadillac and Big Rapids, Lake City, and the Wisaki receiver, that would be great.
Okay, yeah, we'll do our best there to try to get those entered in for you. Not sure how much we'll be able to do, but we'll at least give it a try and go from there.
It's appreciated very much. Thank you for the offer. But if not, at least we'll have this one. And like I say, I'm probably going to take a couple of the other ones. I'm going to take my go bag with me. And like I say, it'll be good to kind of mess around there with it when there's some downtime. And we'll see what happens.
Penetrating the bay like no one.
Yeah, definitely. That's when you need a mobile unit there and a good antenna on the top of your car.
Yeah, maybe one of these days. One of these days will be. Not sure about the current car right now. Mom and I are kicking around the idea of replacing the car, and we're gonna have to see. But once we get back, we might set the wheels in motion. But who knows? Down the road, perhaps.
Yeah, for sure. I like the mobile end of things for the radios. It works out pretty well. It's kind of nice to have something in the car. A good backup system just in case the house goes down or out whatnot. But it works out pretty well.
Yeah, I agree, and you know, I keep one of the spare mobile antennas in the car, so if I have a handheld and if I can't get out with a rubber duck or whatever, I just took that one up and done pretty good in that regard. So at least there's a backup again to that, and works out if needed. Otherwise, you know, just good for local communications, NAWC.
Panic.
Gee, lighten you. Yeah, that works. That works. I know that the DMR and radio is 10 watts, so it should get out pretty decent.
Ah, okay. I was wondering. I was going to look that up tonight, and I forgot. That's good to know. In fact, using it right now, kind of running it through cases there. We'll charge it up there before we go.
Cool. Sounds as long as there's no interference. It's a clear signal.
Ah, okay, excellent. Thanks for the signal report. I really went through all the bands there, talk groups. It's like, my goodness, there is quite a bit on here. Definitely covers the state of Michigan well. You definitely programmed it well.
Penetrating.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I tried to set it up to where, you know, if you're out, you know, traveling or, you know, you're doing something, it'll hit whatever repeater or wherever you're at. I'm trying to make it make sense. It should be fine. It should work pretty well for you. So it's a good radio. Not bad at all. When you get your DMR number, I'm going to try something out because there's a way you can send a text message through the radio. I'm going to see if I can text you through the radio.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I think I sent you a text with the DMR number, and I also included it in the email to you, so hopefully that's what you're looking for.
Penetrating.
Yep, it is. It is exactly what I'm looking for. So when you key up, then it'll come up with your call sign and your information there, so.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. You know, at least they'll have that information in, and I think you were saying, too, I can set up a private channel, if I remember correct.
Yep. That's another thing I want to try out, too. So there's a couple things I want to... I'm itching to try.
Okay. That sounds great. Yeah, there's, like I say, kind of exploring through it and checking it out a little bit more. Like I say, I didn't realize there were so many talk groups, and wow, like I say, just there's a lot of good features to it. It's very solid radio.
Penetrating.
Yeah. DMR, like I said, DMR is a lot like, you know, your 800 megahertz, your digital 800 megahertz, you know, statewide system, and, you know, your place is just kind of, you can kind of go wherever, and it'll take your mobile with you, if you want it.
Yeah, that's a nice feature. Like you say, with a state system, you know, you can take the marble with you, and it works out real good. And again, state system that's been set up here in Michigan has done a really good job with that. And good even with the UHF and the VHF systems as well. So again, very robust systems, and work pretty good. Definitely eager to see how it'll work on the traveling end of it.
Penetrating the bay.
Yeah, it, like I said, it works really well. Like I said, Tom Kigeo does a lot of traveling for his job, and he gets out towards Grand Rapids and Lansing in that area, and it works really well for him. And so he's got one in his truck, a DMR radio in his truck, and like I said, it works out very well. In my radio, when we travel, I'll take the DMR with us, and that one roams, and it'll pick, it does like your cell phone. It starts looking for towers that are close in and stuff. So there's different DMR radios out there that do different things, but essentially they all work about the same, and they do a really good job. Central Michigan did a really good job in setting their system up.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can.
NAWCD, yes, I agree with that. And like you say, eager to put it to practice, definitely, like you say, looking at all the talk groups and that, and then plus having the additional private systems that are out there, or the other public systems that are there, that, like the Oakland County or whatever. It's good to have, in addition to the the analog 2 meter and 70 centimeter. Again, it gives another facet there to communication.
Yes, indeed, it does. It does. So, well, Dad, I am home, so I'm going to head in and grab some sleep. But appreciate you staying up and your willingness to stay up and have a good conversation on the way north. Hopefully, you guys are able to get some rest tonight and have a good day tomorrow. Leo and I might stop in real quick tomorrow. Kids got youth group, so we're out in the area. But you guys have a good night, and we'll chat tomorrow.
Penetrating the bay like.
Yeah, I bet you're tired. Definitely, we'll let you head on in, and we'll be here all day tomorrow. But good talking with you there. A lot of good conversation, and. We'll definitely, I'm sure, stop in any time. We'll definitely need to talk a little bit then. But anyway, we'll let you get some rest. My eyes are drooling. So with that, tell everyone hello and good night. But 73 is an 88 to you and the family. And thanks for the ride along. You get some rest tonight. NAWCB is clear on your final.
Sounds good, Dad. Sounds good. Get some rest and tell Mom we said hi. 73s and 88 to Mom. K8YNU, clear.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
KF8AKV, Victor Alpha 3, Alpha India, India. Hello, Gordon. KF8AKV, VA3, Alpha India, India. Nothing heard. KF8AKV, Victor Alpha 3, Alpha India, India. We'll be clear. Alpha Delta 8, Mike Papa.
WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
NAWRO. WRO clear, wrong side.
NAWRO, KCKGO, Jimmy Salter.
Yeah, sir, I'm mobile. Can't seem to work my radio in the mobile today. Ha ha. Heading out to Ted's for some lunch, and then I'll go over to Kroger to pick up that big old order I put in.
There you go. Sounds like a day planning for a beautiful, or planning for a beautiful day. I'm heading out to Dearborn. I'm probably going to get to 372.
Alright, you're a little crunchy, but I can, perfectly readable.
Yeah, I just don't know if Oakland's got a link to, Macomb.
Let's, QSY back to, FBI. I just gotta figure out how to get there, so I'll be there shortly. NAWRO.
penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
For that call. DOP listening. Kilo Foxtrot 8. Delta Oscar Papa listening.
Delta Oscar Papa. This is November 8th, Victor Delta Zulu.
VDZ. This is KFA DOP calling.
We got a radio donated to ARPSC. I just reprogrammed it and turning it on for the first time and doing a little testing. How do I read?
Hey, you're about 5 over 9 here. You're doing pretty good. I'm south of front here. Yeah, you sound good.
Excellent. Good to hear. Appreciate the radio check. This is November 8th, Victor Delta Zulu. I will be clear. Thanks again for the check.
Good, Mike. Next talk to you, buddy. This is KF8 DOP. We're clear.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the W8CMN repeater in Guilford.
Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Juliet, KE8WOK. Stand by. W-O-J. Anybody at all hear me on the W-A-8-M-A-C? K-E-A-W-O-J. This is K-F-8-D-P-Z. I hear you loud and clear. How are you doing this evening, sir? Oh, excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming back there. Yeah, I am fat, dumb, and ugly, same as every day. I was just talking to some fellas on DMR, and they were telling me about a net tomorrow night on this repeater here, so I had to go look up the node and see if I could connect to it. I sure appreciate it.
Not a problem. The net you're talking about, yeah, that happens at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. I'm usually out door dashing during that time, so it's something I get to listen to in between delivering food.
Oh, that must be a tough thing to do. Driving around with the food smells in the car. I don't know how you keep from eating that stuff.
Oh, that's easy. Just make sure you eat something and you're stuffed before you go out, so none of the food smells will bother you.
Oh, there you go. That'll work. Usually I get stuffed, though, and driving's the last thing I want to do. Laying down to sleep is about what I want to do after that. Sort of like after Thanksgiving, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to catch myself looking at somebody's order that I'm supposed to deliver and thinking, yeah, I kind of want to eat that because, you know, I just don't want to go through the grief. It's not worth it.
Oh, absolutely. I know what you mean, but I would be tempting, especially if you were delivering pizzas, just to reach in there and grab a piece. It's a good thing I'm not doing that, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
But if I get to hankering for pizza that bad because I'm smelling stuff like that, there's so many little fuses all over the place with their hotties, and owls have pizza bags, so I know it's getting home piping hot.
Oh, that's true, too. I kind of grew up in Roseville, and I remember Buscemi's on 13 and right near 13 and Gratiot, kind of in between 12 and 13 and Gratiot there. Oh, my goodness, that was the first place I ran into deep dish pizza. Boy, did I stuff myself on that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but when it came to deep dish pizza, I grew up on Buddy's. Because where I was born and raised, we were like less than 3 miles from the original at 6 and Conan in Detroit.
Yeah, now you don't know when Buddy's first got started, did you? Because I'm thinking when I was down there, it was what was it, the 70s? Yeah, it was the early 70s, I think. And I don't remember hearing about Buddy's Pizza down there anywhere.
Well, back then, Buddy's Pizza, that's the original location at 6 Mile and Conan. That was also the only one in existence. It wasn't a local chain until, that didn't start up until sometime in the past 15 years. But back in the 70s is when I got introduced to it.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. And that's probably why it seemed like I was always heading north on Gratiot instead of south. The Buscemi's there. Wow, that was. And then I moved out to over toward the Lakeville Leonard area, and it turned out there was another Buscemi's in Lake Orion there. So I spent a lot of time visiting that one also.
Oh yeah, I get that. I've had Buscemi's before. It's definitely good pizza. There's nothing wrong with theirs pizza at all.
Yeah, they're kind of all good. I'm not sure I ever met a pizza that I didn't like.
I wish I could say the same, but I actually did meet a pizza that I didn't like. Do you remember when Little Caesars first came out with their hot and ready pizzas?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Those were, usually I was pretty hungry, though, so I kind of starved them down. And I worked in the shops a lot, too, so I was kind of used to eating off the gut trucks there. So I could just about eat anything, but yeah, you're right. Those were right borderline, I'll say that.
You guys are getting my mouth watering, KD4ZYQ.
Well, good evening to you there, Joe. Good to hear you. Yeah, sorry about getting your mouth watering and whatnot, but we mentioned food and then we got off on pizza, and here we are.
Boy, see what happens when you don't lock the doors and windows. How you doing, Joe? Good to hear you.
Yeah, it's good to be heard. It's good to be heard, yeah. That means I'm not around a bunch of deaf people. That's a good thing, you know. I was just reading an interesting book about automotive lubrication. It's a non-friction book.
And here we go with the dad jokes. Oh, geez. Because I got a million of them.
I was trying to think of one. I'm just drawing a blank over here. Joe, go ahead.
Well, you just gave one unexpectedly or unknowingly there, Rick. Being a gun enthusiast and like going out shooting, you're drawing a blank. There you go. You just gave one and didn't even know it. You're a poet and didn't know it. But she rose up and goes, oh, yeah, talking about pizzas made me think of Jet's Pizza over here, not far from me. I used to order a Jet's Pizza with a sausage on it. It little bits of sausage on it. And it was one of their best pizzas, I thought. And they don't even do it anymore. I have a tried to call them in the recent past, but they stopped doing it. I said, you're kidding me. I said, that's all I used to order from you guys. Yeah, pass it on.
Well, that is one of the reasons why I tend not to order Jet's Pizza, because I do like putting sausage on it. You know, it's just, it adds an extra zing on top of what you get with pepperoni, that I just really like it.
Yeah, I forgot their name earlier. Jets is one of my favorites. My niece's ex-boyfriend there used to manage a Jets Pizza somewhere, and so he used to, when he'd come over for a visit, he'd often have an armful of pizzas. I sure enjoyed that.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Well, now I just buy, not that they're the best or best made or best toppings, but I buy DiGiorno Supreme and thin crust, because I like the crunchy crust rather than eating a ton of dough filled up on bread.
KFA-DBZ. As long as it's not too bready, I don't mind that. Stuffed crust is always fun, especially if it's been stuffed with, like, cheese. That's pretty awesome. But my lady, she's a big fan of the thin and crispies, and I actually kind of like that way, too.
Yeah, it's all good. I had a hankering today for onion rings, so I had a bag full of, Nathan's, I think, onion rings. And I sure ate a lot of those. T-E-A-W-O-J, Joe, go ahead.
Well, I got to tell you, I got to confess, I recognize your voice, but the name don't come to mind. I apologize on our third party here, but I've been through a lot the last couple of weeks, and you wouldn't want to hear what I've been through. But anyhow, I've been wanting to have deer battered codfish, I think it is, the cod. I've been wanting to have a good dinner of fish, you know, the breaded fish. But I think I like the tartar sauce on it as much, if not more, than the fish. So the fish is along for the ride, hi-hi. But both of them together, I got to have tartar sauce with it for some reason. Of course, I use shrimp sauce with shrimp, the shrimp cocktail. But I'm glad I didn't buy shrimp at Walmart a couple shoppings back, because they had a recall about some sort of radiated shrimp or something. And I was thinking about it, and I hadn't had it for a little while. I said, nah, I'm not going to buy any shrimp. And I get home and I hear the news on TV about the contaminated or bad shrimp at Walmart. I thought, wow, I missed that one by a hair.
Oh, yeah, copy that, Joe. I read about that, and some people were joking, like, I already ate some. How come I don't have any superpowers?
Well, Joe, you got me curious now. Where you're going out? Are you going out to a restaurant or something for this beer battered fish, or are you getting the Gordon's or Bandy Camps or whatever? I've been getting a lot of the Gordon's fish, the beer battered, and crispy tenders or whatever. They got a bunch of them. They're pretty good. I did buy a box of Bandy Camps, and wow, they didn't compare at all. So you got me curious now. Joe, go ahead.
Well, actually, there's no restaurant I can think of that sells at least by me. And if they do, I haven't been there. But I think you said Gordon's was better than Bandy Camp, or was it the reverse? You're going to have to tell me how you cook them. You just put it on a sheet, put it in the oven, and bake them for so long, and then you're done? Because next time shopping, I'm going to be getting some, because I've been too long without fish like that, battered fish, breaded fish. And get a good jar or two of tartar sauce. I mean, something about the two together, just, it's heaven to me. In fact, if I had to choose between that and any pizza, it'd probably be the fish.
All right, see, now you went and got me hungry for that. Now I want a good fish dinner. Dang it.
Did Rick fall asleep?
maybe. I don't know. I mean, that could happen to any one of us. I was having that problem last night. I'm sitting still doing some stuff on the computer, and my head hit the keyboard.
KU4ZYQ. I apologize. I mentioned earlier, I'm wondering first name on the other fellow there. I recognize your voice, but I can't place the name.
Oh, that was me you were referring to. Okay, yeah, my first name is Cliff.
Yeah, Cliff, unless Rick got a phone call, I don't know, maybe he had a unscheduled stop, as one of our ham radio operators call it, an unscheduled stop necessity.
Yeah, I get that too, being diabetic. I'm in the bathroom every 90 minutes now.
Hey, sorry, guys. I disappeared there all of a sudden. I got a dual VFO on the handheld here, and all of a sudden DMR come busting in and over top of everything. And you can't do anything. You can't adjust anything or change any settings until they're done talking. And they were quick keying so fast. So I finally got a chance to shut off the other VFO. So sorry about that.
That's all right. We just thought you might have had an unscheduled stop, you know, one of those necessity things. But the good thing is you're still around with us, so that's all that matters, the main thing. But Cliff, yeah, I've heard you before. I don't know if I've ever talked to you much, but I've heard you before. But, yeah, I've been around the block a while, so most everybody, even new hams, say, I hear you all over on different nets. And I say, well, that's because I try to keep the band's allocations and repeaters working, and the FCC don't come down on us and take away our bands and our frequencies. And I says, if you don't lose them, you'll lose them. So that's why I check in, not for popularity, just to keep the bands. Over to you, Cliff.
Yeah, that's something that always worries me, too, that if we're not out here that much, I just don't get a whole lot of opportunities to actually just sit and chew the rags with everybody. I get enough going on that keeps me busy. Mostly all I ever really get to do is listen. Like when I'm out dashing, it's not a good idea for me to get involved in a conversation on the radio because I could screw up a dash. I got to pay attention to what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. And Cliff, it's nice to meet you. Nice to talk with you. And I appreciate you coming back to me. I was testing out this repeater, as I told you, but I don't know if Joe was heard or not. Tomorrow they got a net going on here, ARPSC, I think. I kind of like listening to that stuff, so I happened to look up the node and loaded it up and give it a try, and it was kind of dead quiet, and finally Cliff came back and saved the day. Joe, go ahead.
Well, actually, Rick, I was, I just come in when you started talking a little bit further on pizza, so whatever you said before, the pizza, major pizza comments, I didn't hear, so I was in the kitchen taking care of some things and getting something to drink. I got a purified water with a little powdered vitamins in it. It's like a pina colada flavored vitamin water. So there you go, a drink without a drink. Over to you, Cliff.
All I got going on here for stuff to drink is coffee. I'm one of those people who drink the stuff all day long. It does not affect my ability to sleep or anything like that. But I do definitely enjoy the taste of the stuff, that's for sure. How are you, Rick?
Oh, I miss coffee. Boy, I used to drink gallons of it, it seemed like, every day. But then I started having all the heart trouble with it. All of the doctors were, you got to give up the coffee and all that. But anyway, I got a, once I get out of here and get back in the house, I got a pint of Häagen-Dazs vanilla bean ice cream waiting for me. KEAWOJ. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ in the group. Well, Rick, don't feel bad, because when I was working in Tool and Die back in the late 70s or so, mid to late 70s. I worked in Tooling that briefly as an in-between job when I got laid off. And I worked there, I think I told you the story, but Cliff hasn't heard it, I don't think. But I drank coffee, just one small cup in the morning at the tool and dice shop to warm up, especially in the wintertime on that hard cement floor and cold environment somewhat. And I just had one cup in the morning, very small. Didn't drink it all the rest of the day, but when I started doing that every day in the morning, I had tachycardia. My heart would go 100 miles an hour without me doing anything or even jumping or moving or walking or anything. It could just start up and keep going fast. I thought I had a heart issue until I stopped drinking coffee or anything with caffeine. Went away, never came back. Over to you, Cliff.
Well, I'm definitely glad that that doesn't happen to me, because there are way too many mornings going into the plant where it's like I needed the kick from the coffee to get me going in the morning. So, you know, I don't know what I would have done if that had been happening to me. It would have been just a struggle for me to get going in the AM. But as it, you know, turns out, it doesn't affect me negatively in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, like I said, apparently for whatever reason, it does not interfere with my sleep. Because, you know, being diabetic, like I said, I'm in the bathroom every 90 minutes. That even happens while I'm sleeping. I wake up every couple of hours having to go to the bathroom. But that didn't start until I, you know, became diabetic. Before that, not even sure. I'd sleep the whole night through.
Yeah, I'm with you too, Cliff. I used to live up in Lapeer and then work down in, down in the city. I was a pipe fitter building tooling and that. So I'd be leaving before 5 in the morning. And first stop was a gas station party store kind of thing. And two gigantic, as big a cups of styrofoam cups as they had of coffee. And one would be gone by the time I got to work. The other would be gone about half hour after I got to work. And then I'd start on the coffee in the shop there. Joe, I want to ask you, have you got another radio going in the background? Because you seem to have an echo. Usually you're just loud and crisp and clear, and for some odd reason tonight you got some kind of echo.
Nope, nothing's running in the background. Maybe I turned my mic gain and my power down since I'm close to this repeater. And maybe it sounds a little better. You have to let me know when it comes around. But no, there's nothing volume or sound-wise running in the background. And I notice when I key up on this radio, when I let go of the PTT button, if I let it off after I say something, I hear it on my own radio kind of echo.
Yeah, Joe, Rick is right. You have a very, very slight echo. It's not bad. All right, it almost sounds like more like, you know, just kind of like a reverb effect. And, you know, it's not really annoying, but it's definitely there. It's not your normal sound.
Yeah, exactly, reverb. That describes it perfectly. Yeah, you're not normal tonight. Something else going on there with you. You're using a new radio or an old radio or something?
KE4Z, like, you know, this is the 991 awful. You know how that goes. And it's a stock mic, so nothing's new, different, altered, adjusted. I just turned the mic gain and the power down, so don't know if that made any difference whatsoever. What do you think, Cliff?
The reverb effect definitely went away, but also your audio dropped to like less than half of what it was before. So you might want to turn that gain up a little bit, and we can keep going with that until we get to where it sounds good.
Yep, you adjusted just a little bit too much. Usually you sound really good wherever you're at, you know, where you're at. So it's kind of weird how that all of a sudden just happened like that. The good old 991 atrocity. Go ahead, Joe.
Yep, this one's adjusted just a little bit up again, like you said, Cliff. And I know, Rick, you and I know, but I don't know if Cliff knows how many times in the area that people with Yaesu's, 991As and other ones, have had to send their radios back for repair
a lot of the finals going on, a lot of Yaesu radios. I turn this up just a slight bit in talking about the usual way. So you tell me, Cliff, does this sound better with the mic gain up now?
You definitely sound much more like yourself, Joe, much better. There's just a tiniest hint of that reverb, so I wouldn't crank it up anymore. But you're coming through 5x9 now.
Yes, sir. I was going to say the same, Joe. You sound like your normal self now.
Well, K4ZYQ, since I'm not far away from the Macomb County or Mount Clemens repeater here, whatever one this is, Mount Clemens, tell me, I left the mic gain the same, but I turned the power down a little bit. I might be overpowering the radio, the repeater, rather. So tell me if this really, it messed up. It might have changed my signal meter to you guys, but the modulation and readability, how's it doing, Cliff?
All right, Joe, you know what? I think you pegged it right there. I don't know how far down you knocked the power, but any hint of a reverb is absolutely gone. Sounds like you never changed a thing.
Yep, that's pretty crisp and clear there. And I'm coming in on all-star node, so it's sort of the signal's just kind of full blast all the time anyway, so... But, I think Flip's right. You got it right there. It's just about perfect. Ain't it something that we talk to each other enough to where we can all of a sudden tell when something's up with somebody else's radio?
Oh, yeah. Well, what I'm running right now, just an FYI, and I don't try to run any more power than needed, as they tell us to not do. You know, don't run any more power needed to get out and get to the repeaters or whatever. And I don't like running a lot of power, especially on 991A, as Rick knows. Don't want to blow the finals again, but I only have 10 watts power and about 20 on the mic gain. That way it keeps the modulation up, but the repeater must not like too much power coming into it, because that's where some of that may be coming from. Over to you, Cliff, from KE4ZYQ.
KFA-TPZ, I'm actually running at, what band are we in here again? 2 meter, okay. This radio puts out 25 watts on the medium setting, and that's where I'm at right now. It'll max out at 50, and I don't run it up there unless I need to. So basically, I'm running at half power, and I was just wondering, am I getting any of that echo effect? Because I'm about the same distance from the repeater as Joe, where you're at, Joe, just in a different direction. I'm like... south-southwest of the repeater, whereas you're more like off to the west of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure why or what it is, but you've got a deeper voice, too, and I'm not noticing it on your transmissions at all. And I'm loving these nodes because I'm only running about a watt, if that. Both of you guys are loud and clear, and I'm hoping I am. Joe, go ahead.
Well, both of you are perfectly clear, and both of you, through the repeater, obviously I'm receiving you through the repeater, and the repeater is pegging my S meter, and I'm getting a 60 over 9. So I'm just wondering on either one of you, how is the receive signal on your side? If you got a read out there, Cliff, over to you.
Well, just like you, Joe, I'm getting a bent needle over here. It keeps hitting the peg because, again, you know, I'm so close to the repeater, and I forget how much power that thing puts out. Somebody told me once, and I forgot because, you know, I'm getting old, and I got CRS. But, yeah, basically, you know, both of you guys are pegging the needle all the way over.
Yeah, and I can't really tell you, Joe. This handheld doesn't have any meters, so I just got to go by the audio.
Yes, well, that handheld that you got there, Rick, is amazing because you sound better than some people with bass radios. you know, shack base radios. So whatever you've got, however you are getting into the repeaters or otherwise, it always sounds great. And it's not a matter of just a signal that you're getting in with the radio through nodes or whatever, but your microphone, whatever microphone's on that radio is doing justice. What do you think, Cliff, from KE4ZYQ?
So he's using an HT? Okay, now I'm doubly impressed because that thing, because you're right, Joe, he sounds a whole heck of a lot better than some of the base stations that I've heard around here. Really does. What is it that you're using there anyways, Rick? What do you got for an HT?
Well, I'd like to think it's all the HT, but I think it's All-Star also, that they're kind of known for their audio quality, but it's Anytone 878 UV2 Plus, and they're supposed to have some really good audio, and the receive is really good. I think they got a 1 watt output for the audio there, so a lot of times I'm cranking the volume down because everybody sounds pretty good on it. I'm kind of liking this radio.
Yeah, give a little pause there if anybody wanted to get in, KE4ZYQ. But I was also looking up, too, I got it somewhere, how much watts the repeater's putting out there, Cliff, but I couldn't find it in time in between the rotation. But, yeah, I'm going to start a new log on my repeaters and everything. When I get some radios fixed, I'm going to have to reprogram my 7250D Yaesus, and I'm going to start... When I have to put them back in there again, I'm going to start grouping them and putting all the simplex together, you know, certain frequencies together. So locating them, turning to them are going to be even more easier than I have now. Over to you, Cliff.
I wish I could afford to spend the money on maybe some more new radios and get something better than the ones that I have, but I don't know if I ever told you about the flood that happened in my house back at the beginning of May that I'm basically still working on cleaning up from. All the repairs are done and stuff like that, and I just got to put some more things back where they belong that I haven't had the time to do yet. But that whole job set me back $5,000. It was $3,400 for the pipe repair and another $1,500 in materials and tool rentals and whatnot for the work I did myself to help mitigate all the water issues around my house. So, yeah, kind of broke for a while.
Holy cow, Cliff. I'm sorry to hear that. Boy, oh, boy. That's the joys of home ownership, right? Jeez, oh, Pete. But, you know... you're on the radio, you're sounding pretty good, so you don't really need any new ones, but we never really need excuses for for wanting new ones, myself included. I was looking at some other DMR radios today, a new DMR mobile. We'll see what happens. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it too there, Cliff. And not to get into personal topics or conversations or details, but I was going to say, I would hope you would have had some sort of insurance that would have helped with some of that. I know when I lived in Tennessee, and I lived on a neighborhood, the last house I had was in a subdivision that was a non-through subdivision. I was at the back end of the subdivision, and behind my row of houses where I lived on the one side of the road was a gully that they had for water runoff and everything. And they said it never overflows, so there was some sort of kind of a water plane, whatever they call it, floodplain plan or whatever it's called, how many years or whatever. And my insurance, when I got it, I said, you can add on flood insurance just in case that overflows. It was like $7 more a month or a year or something. I don't know. It wasn't very expensive, but I'm glad I had it because it almost overflowed one time before I ever moved back to Michigan. Back to you, Cliff.
Well, I'm glad it never overflowed and that you never had to deal with the flood issues. And in and of itself, because of the weather and whatnot, they would have been inclined to cover it, except for the fact that the issue turned out to be the kitchen drain was broken, and that is what had saturated the ground underneath the basement, which is what was causing the water to get in the first place, because everything at, around the foundation was oversaturated. Under normal condition, normal situations, the drain system they put around a foundation can usually handle, you know, the rainfall and whatnot, even in the heaviest of storms. But because that pipe was broken, it had absolutely saturated the ground, the drain system was just overloaded, and that's why my basement flooded. So the insurance company is like, nope, you're on your own. And I'm like, dang it. But, you know, it is what it is. It's all fixed. I don't have any more flooding issues. I've still got a couple small leaks I got to deal with, but those are well on the way to being handled. But the thing that, you know, really hurt was like less than a month ago. On top of this flooding issue, unfortunately, I didn't lose anything. Okay, I didn't lose any, you know, I didn't lose any goods or anything like that. Nothing got water damaged because, you know, I'm definitely the type of, like, you don't put nothing on the basement floor unless it's in plastic so that, you know, it can't get wet. But it's like less than a month after I pay for the drain being repaired and whatnot and I get vindication that everything I did work, I get up one morning and my kitchen refrigerator is done. Poof, there went another $1,000.
Oh, man. Jeez, Flip, you're killing me over here. I'm kind of glad I don't own anything anymore. Joe, go ahead. I'm laughing, but it's not really funny.
Yeah, K4ZYQ. Well, I have a talk, Cliff, sorry to hear that, too. I have a talk with another ham over time in the last year or two, and he's over in Canada. And as a term, we know that we think is made for all electronics, appliances, whatever. It's called planned obsolescence. Everything is built by engineers of companies that know when the warranty runs out or when you might need to buy another one. So they know exactly how long to make it to last under normal use and when it's going to die, so you have to buy another one. That's planned obsolescence. I'm sure you've heard that term before. Over to you, Cliff.
Oh, I'm very familiar with that term and that concept. I retired out of the auto industry. And believe you me, the engineers design vehicles to last 15 years or 250,000 miles, whichever one happens first. So basically, you have to take really, really good care of your vehicles when they start getting up around 10, 12 years of age, because if you don't, the stuff really will start failing when they planned for it to do so. So yeah, I'm very familiar with that. But this fridge that died on me, I can't complain. Because one, I got 20 years out of it. And two, it was a Kenmore. And those were built to last back when I bought this one. I'm not so sure about the modern ones, but this one back then was built to last. And I got my 20 years out of it, so I can't complain.
Yeah, the car I'm driving now is 20 years, 19 years old. It probably came out 20 years ago, but anyway, I noticed this that planned obsolescence thing, mostly in electronics. I've had a lot of electronics that lasted just a week or two over the warranty period. I just kind of chunked it all to bad luck. K-E-A-W-O-J. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, K-E-4-Z-Y-Q. Yeah, it's... And I never understood as a young kid or as an adult now, after all these years, that companies that sell you something with a warranty, you know, a manufacturer warranty, but a lot of times, like your car and different things, they have what's called deductibles. It's like saying, yeah, we'll cover it, but you got to pay the first $1,000 or something. It's like, well, what good is insurance, you know? And I was going to talk about something totally off the wall, different topic, but I was going to say, I'd like to meet the guy that made the term, everything is always in the last place you look. Well, if you find it, how many people keep looking? So everything's always in the last place you look. Go ahead, Cliff.
KFADPZ. I'm pretty sure that was Murphy who coined that phrase right up there. With, you know, if anything can't break, it will at the worst possible moment. We're all familiar with Murphy's Law.
Oh, yeah. And after hearing you guys, I'm over here sitting there with my fingers and toes crossed. Joe, go ahead.
Well, there's a long tail on this repeater. Yeah, you could do a long, what, HF transmission with that tail on this repeater. A long counterpoise wire there. But, yeah, those old sayings that crack me up, I always tell people that I read somewhere that the two ways you know you're getting old, once you lose your memory, and for the life of me, I can't think of the other one. But, yeah, I like those old sayings. But Murphy's Law, oh, yeah, if anything can go wrong, it will. But anyhow, there was something else I was going to say, and I forgot now. Yeah, the warranty stuff just cracks me up, though. Yeah, they know how long it's going to last. Oh, talking about cars, I was going to tell you, Rick, you probably know this. The car I bought in Memphis, Tennessee. I lived in Jackson, and they wouldn't deal in Jackson, so I went to Memphis to buy the car that I got, brand new. And the car was a 2004. A 2004 brand new car. To this day, I still have it. It's got just a little over 61.5 on it, 61,500. What do you think about that, Cliff?
Well, one, I hope it's not rusting out already, because that's where that 15 years comes in. That's what most vehicles that you have today, once they get about 15 years old, they start rusting out. Good on the low mileage, because you're not wearing the mechanical stuff too much. But at the same time, she still needs to go out for a spin for about a half an hour every couple of weeks to make sure all the flexible parts stay flexible and all the fluids stay in good shape and stuff like that. Other than that, I think you're hanging on to it good there. I'm kind of in the opposite with that because I have a 2005 Dodge Durango. It's on its third engine. Okay, and you have to remember, it's 20 years old this year. It's on its third engine, but it's on its original transmission. And original rear end and stuff like that. Basically, I just kept doing the maintenance on it throughout the years. And other than the fact that the engine blew on me twice, because those four systems are notorious for that, it's doing really good. It's got almost 310,000 miles on it right now, and it is still rolling down the road. Over to you, Rick.
I hope mine goes that many, but I kind of doubt it there. It's 2006, and I've got about 150-some thousand on it, I think. But it really hasn't needed much. The compressor for the air conditioning is gone, kind of thing, and I'm just not bothering replacing it. But nothing major, knock on wood, for breakdowns or repairs. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, KU401Q, it sounded like somebody's trying to get in, but we're making the trip, unless that was you clicking there, Rick, but I don't think it was. But yeah, I use real good synthetic oils and good filters and, you know, don't buy the cheap stuff. And it doesn't have much rust on it because it didn't go through much snow in Tennessee, and it was garaged when it was, taken care of, and not much salt or anything down there, at least not when I was driving. By the time I drove on the roads, they were all cleared. And not very much snow down there in the year as I was there still. But up here, it's the wintertime, it's garaged more than it's driven out in snow, at least on the main roads. And the one thing about the mileage there, Cliff and Rick, too, is I always work close to where I lived or live close to where I work, so I didn't have to travel, you know, tons and tons of miles every day back and forth to work like some people. They drive, you know, 15, 20 miles sometimes or more. I was always about, half hour at the most, maybe 20 minutes, half hour, 35 minutes at the most, at the longest distance. And that probably one time in my life. Over to you, Cliff.
Yeah, actually, that's not a bad amount of time to drive the vehicle. 25 to 30 minutes allows all the fluids to get up to their working temperatures and whatnot, and to dry out the exhaust completely on the inside. That's just about the ideal amount of time to have the vehicle in operation at any given point in time. It seems to work the best for keeping them alive. It's one of the reasons my truck has lasted as long as it has. My drive down to the plant, 18 miles one way. It takes me 25 minutes or so because of traffic and things like that. So, you know, it's like I've only put two exhaust systems in it in 20 years, for example, because it takes them that long to rust out. People who constantly drive just 3 miles and stop, and or 5 miles and stop, and, you know, let it cool off. And boom, you're going to go through exhaust systems like crazy. Your rubber parts are going to wear out faster and things like that. So, and your fluids are going to need changing more often, believe it or not, because you're beating on them. So running it for right around a half an hour or so at a time is actually the ideal amount of time to operate your vehicle. So I'd say offhand, you've been just driving it exactly the right way that you should have been. Over to you, Rick. Oh, no, before I let go, whoever it was that may have been trying to come in, he's coming in off the Saginaw repeater. I got the monitor up on my screen right now. Anyways, over to you, Rick.
Kind of leave a break there in case you wanted to come in. You guys, I was working. I was living in Lapeer, and all the work was down in the cities building tooling for the car companies there. And I usually had about an hour and a half each way, so about 3 hours a day on the road, and more like 60 miles, 70 miles kind of thing. So I kind of wore things out pretty quick. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Well, Rick, as the old saying goes, you're a better man than me, Gunga Din, because I couldn't have tolerated that too long. That would have drove me nuts, going to and fro that long, that drive, traffic in particular. You know, the distance and time wouldn't be as bad if it was clear driving, but traffic and, you know, craziness, like the guys do in the morning sometimes on the expressway, I couldn't do that. That would drive me nuts. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, you know, I think this repeater last night was picking up an Ohio repeater on the same frequency kind of coming in with the propagation, and they had some sort of net opening up, and I heard Ohio coming in on this frequency last night. I didn't chime in or call in, but I was listening to it. I couldn't believe all these stations coming in. Did you hear that, Cliff?
Not last night, no, because I never got on the radio at all last night, but I know exactly which one you're talking about. I've heard them from time to time, and I could never really make them out well. They're on, because we're on 147.2 here, okay? They're on 147.195, and the repeater is just a few miles south of the Michigan-Ohio border, and I was able to figure that out because I caught one of the call signs just up enough in the clear for me to start figuring out where to look for the information I needed. But, I have heard it on occasion. Heck, there was that one night about a month ago I was on the radio, and a Spantu meter opened up like you would not believe. And there was some guy in Southfield here talking to the Canadians who were on their repeater in Shedden, Ontario. It's like 150 kilometers east of here. And they were talking to each other. It was amazing. The guys from Ontario sounded like they were sitting in my living room.
Yeah, that's Mike in Shedden. He's got quite a system there. He's got some HF linked into there. He's got quite a thing going on there. I used to talk over there occasionally. When the propagation wasn't too good, you could always hop on EchoLink and get in there. there was another NADUI. They have a morning roundtable kind of thing, and there's an Ohio station somewhere that every so often when the propagation's right, it kind of interferes with them. And I used to hear them people all the time. I used to check into some of their nets down in Ohio. You know, when the propagation was good, and it was quite interesting. it doesn't happen every day.
at KE4ZYQ in the group. Well, Cliff, what I'm about to tell you is not for bragging's sake, but nobody's more shocked than me when you mentioned shedding. I occasionally get into that one from my house with my attic antenna, my vertical up in the attic, and I've gotten into shedding it one time. The propagation was so good, Rick's talking about, Mike, the guy that curates, takes care of those repeaters, he's got some multiple links with 10 meters and 2 meters and all sorts of things. And I was talking to him one day on the shedding repeater. I'm on 2 meters with me, and he was on something else. And a guy in Port Richey, Florida, come in on 10 meters. We were talking like we're all neighbors like us talking right now. It was amazing with the propagation and all the repeaters link that he has was working. But yours truly here, Cliff, Rick I think knows this already, but I talked through the ISS repeater and got two guys in New York and one in West Virginia. I have that on recording that I caught them. I was trying to get the astronauts one time and missed it. He called on a guy in Berkeley, Al, KDLH, and both of us are trying to get the astronaut, but he called on Al and I didn't make it that time. So back to you there, Cliff.
Yeah, copy that. That's an awesome contact. It kind of reminds me a little bit of my early days playing around in 11 meter on the CB. And it'd be the wee hours in the morning, and I had an Antron 99 on the roof, and I would be talking to people in Alaska and Alabama with that thing with just 5 watts. Do kind of miss those days, but 11 meter is totally trash now. It's like there's no point in even thinking about going back. Maybe one of these days I'll take a shot at talking to the ISS, but not before I build a handheld Yagi so I can make sure they at least have a chance at hearing me, because I'm not so sure about this stick pointing up off of my roof. Not angled right, you know what I mean? Anyways, over to you, Rick.
Yeah, the good old CB days. I enjoyed it. Well, actually, Oxford, Lake Orion, some of the small towns, the families used to get together in the evening about 7, 8 o'clock at night, and they had their radios in the living room. And instead of watching TV, they just had, just like we're doing right now, just kind of a round table kind of thing. That was kind of enjoyable. But I liked it because of the Channel 19 with the traffic and smoky reports. And every time we were traveling up north or coming back kind of thing, I'd have it on 19 to find out where all the traffic jams were and get off the freeway before I get there. It was kind of handy. Joe, go ahead.
Well, Rick, you're not alone, because that's what I did, too. I listened to it more than I actually talked on it. And anybody that had a CB, didn't you have a handle, as they would call it? Not your name, but a handle. And I'll tell you mine as it goes around the round table here. But also, too, Cliff, there's Sarnia. If you know where Sarnia is, up there northeast of me, northeast of this area, I've gotten into their nets, on their repeater nets, on the Friendship net, it's called. I've gotten into there, and they recognize my call sign from being Michigan, obviously, too. They're all Canadians. But there's several different ones, like Rick knows. Sometimes the round table, that rank 2 that's over in Ann Arbor, starts up around, 8 o'clock or so in the mornings, weekdays, and they have a round table in Ann Arbor area. And if the propagation's good, I can get in there. But, it's just all propagation and line of sight. I don't have too many obstacles, knock on wood, thank goodness, buildings or trees that do it in the summertime especially. Over to you, Cliff.
KF8DPZ. Yeah, that's probably going to be, that's an issue that I'm running into here, because right now I just don't have my antenna high enough. It's at about 25 feet or so in the air. I got another 10-foot chunk of pipe that I want to put on the mast and get it up to 35 feet so I can do a better job of clearing the trees and whatnot, because you're telling me about hearing things that, I just can't, and there are places I just can't reach. And it's probably due to the fact that I just don't have enough altitude. Unlike the days of CB where, power was king and that's how you got your distance. With FM, it's line of sight. If you aren't up high enough, you aren't going that far. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, well, when I had the CB going, I was a carpenter, and the boss, the guy I worked for, he started a little CB store in Oxford there, and he got me to do the installs and the mobiles, and that got me hooked. And anyway, I lived on a hill in Oxford, and there's a big old farmhouse there with three apartments in it, and it was two-story on top of that hill. And when I looked out my front window, I was over top of the water tower in Oxford, kind of thing. So then, you know, two stories above that for the farmhouse, and then I think I had a 10-foot mast with a Starduster on it, and I was way up in the air. I just get out with that thing. It was a lot of fun. But anyway, guys, I'm kind of running out of breath here, and that ice cream is kind of calling to me, so I think I'm going to get on out of here. Cliff, it's been really good talking with you. Nice meeting you. And Joe, you behave yourself, and I'll catch you guys later. 73's KE8WOJ.
Yeah, Rick, well, same goes here, too. It's a pleasure talking with you guys and catching you on a round table there for the evening. And I got to go, too, to clear up my sinuses here. They're plugging up, talking, vibrating deep voice in my sinus cavity. Before I can't breathe at all, I got to take a break. But good talking with you, too, Cliff. Until next time, if there is one, God willing, 7-3 for now, KE4ZYQ, clear, but listening out.
All righty then, gentlemen. Feelings mutual. It's definitely been good talking to you again, Joe. Glad to hear you still out here. Rick, absolute pleasure meeting you. Great conversation tonight. Loved every second of it. And with that, I want to say 73 to both of you. Take care out there. Be safe in the world. Take care of yourselves. And I will be clear and standing by. KF8DPZ. Anything you said, I knew there was a voice there, but it was mostly garbled up with static and stuff like that. I have no idea what to do about fixing that. Maybe get yourself some more elevation, get away from the noise sources, make sure your antennas work with a whole host of things. But yeah, you are not sounding good at all. I could barely make out that it was a voice. That was a definite improvement. I could now understand that you put on my call sign, asked a question, and said, is this any better? Still a bit of static, still a little on the quiet side, but you definitely became readable with that. KF8DPZ. Okay, it sounds like you're back to static there. The first transmission, I was busy typing something, sorry I didn't get back right away. The first transmission, I could tell it was a voice again, but that second one that you just made, that was nothing but static.
This is KF8DPQ again. I thought CD radios went further because they were bounced off the atmosphere, am I right?
All right, so that was a question about the range of CB radios and how far they could go. Well, it would appear I've lost contact with that caller. KF8DPZ monitoring.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
My question from earlier was about CB radio skipping and bouncing off of the ionosphere.
Yes, actually, yeah, that's exactly what they do. You kind of want to run that with at least a horizontal dipole, if not a Yagi. But yeah, that's the reason, one of the reasons that AM signals can reach as far as they do, and Citizens Band is basically AM, just like a lot of your 10-meter HF types, which is the next band over. They do the same thing. They're bouncing the signal off the ground in the ionosphere, and that's how they can get it to go halfway around the world.
I have been trying to get my 10-meter radio to listen in and actually pick up the radio. I've been having issues with it, though. I can at least on paper get the transmit.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, basically, if you're actually looking for distance, you have to remember when you have an antenna oriented horizontally, it's directional. It's only going to transmit in the direction you have it pointed, so to speak. It's when they stand vertically, it radiates in all directions. I don't know what kind of issues are you having. Is it like people just aren't hearing you or what?
My issue is with reception, not with transmitting.
So basically, they can hear you, but you can't really hear them.
It was one of those QMX radio kits that I got from QRP. So I think it has something to do with one of the magnetic foil transformers or something when it comes in to the reception side. I tested the transmission with transmitting into a transceiver, UFC transceiver.
So you basically, you know it's broadcasting, but you just don't know if anything, you just can't tell if anything is coming back in. And you think it's inside the radio itself?
Yeah, I believe one of the coils might not be fully cracked. I have to figure out how to troubleshoot that and test that. I'm not certain right now because some of this electronics, especially once you start getting into coils, interacting with other components, I don't know what would be working or not working right now.
All right, copy that. And that last transmission, you sounded the absolute best. I don't know what you were doing at that moment, but keep it up. Yeah, you're starting to stretch my electronics knowledge, too, because the only thing I can think of, the only thing that actually comes to mind for me for that, if you're having issues with reception, and if, does it receive clearly on any one given frequency by any chance, or you can only hear just one thing no matter where you have the radio set?
I think I might be able to use the nano VNA that I have to figure out the coil and figure out if the coils are, well, the three coils that are supposed to be the same are actually the same. But yeah, I'm on a handheld unit that supposedly transmits 10 watts out with a big antenna, 42 inches or something like that, I think, telescoping.
Well, that's a pretty healthy antenna for a handheld, I can tell you that much. I don't recall ever seeing one of those since I was a young lad and I was using those Montgomery Ward CBs with the 5-foot-long telescoping antenna. The radio was taller than I was. The reason I asked about will it receive on just one frequency no matter where you tune it, because that's an issue I've run into before with the receive side on AM. What you'd be looking for in that case would be a bad capacitor on that side. Because that can cause that particular issue, too. But usually it just means you'll only receive on one specific frequency. If you're not hearing anything on any frequency, then, yeah, I think you're on the right track.
So what I was getting at is the handheld that I'm communicating to the repeater is a 49-inch antenna. The little transmitter that I was using with the QMX, it's just like a 5-foot-long, maybe longer. I don't exactly remember. Maybe it was closer to 6 I seem to, I don't remember. I didn't tune it perfectly correct, regardless of what it is. But, yeah.
All right, copy that. Like I said, you're really straining my knowledge of electronics and how radios work, because I just punched my AM ticket earlier this year, even though I've been playing with radios for a long time. And every now and then, I'll just, you know, run into this really odd issue that, you know, I can't quite sort out, and I usually have to find someone else who knows more than I do. In this case, that's something, that's a question you might want to ask of people who are better informed than I am, when you can find the time. Anybody out there with a four-letter call sign, those guys are amateur extra. These guys know the stuff front, back, up, down, upside down, sideways, and they would be better able to help you than I ever will be.
Thank you for your help, Jeff. And yeah, I think it is one frequency that I can hear, but I don't necessarily know what it is, because it just kind of sounds like there's something there. So I don't know if something else is shorted internally that I'm unaware of, but yeah. Thank you, anyway.
Oh, you're welcome. If you're hearing something, it's tuning in something, and if it doesn't change no matter where you tune the radio, I would definitely check out the capacitors on the antenna circuit.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford.